Well, good morning again. That first one we sang this morning was a new one for me this week. I've been listening to it a couple of times and it kind of got stuck in my head, just really been a blessing thinking about it again and again throughout the week. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you, for I desire to worship and obey. May that be truly the cry of each of our hearts this morning. Jesus, I want to draw close. Let's open with prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for these songs, these hymns that we can sing and lift a praise and worship to your name. And Father, remind and challenge our own hearts. Lord, I thank you for the men and women of God who've penned the words and the music for them and made them available. Father, I pray now as we open your word that our hearts would draw close, that you would quiet our hearts and our minds, that we could draw close to you. Father, that you would open to us your word in a way that would feed our souls, encourage, challenge, strengthen us, whatever's needed in each heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The last several days, there's a phrase been running through my head that comes from a story in the book of Luke. And I'd like to start by looking at that story. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, and I had to look the phrase up to see if it was exactly how I was remembering it or not. And it was pretty close. But this phrase we'll get to near the end of the section we're going to read here. Luke, chapter 10, we're going to start with verse 38. And we read here as Jesus is going about his ministry. It came to pass, in verse 38 it says, "It came to pass as they went, that he," this is Jesus, "entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her home." This, in the book of Luke, is the first mention that we have of this household, which consisted of two sisters and a brother, who were very dear to Jesus, we read in other places, who were very, very close to him. They were dear friends of his. They were people he loved dearly. And this here we find the introduction in the book of Luke of Jesus meeting them for the first time. And it specifically mentions Martha. Specifically mentions Martha received him into her house. Martha, I don't know the details, we aren't given details, but I'm assuming they were out in the city when Jesus came to town and they heard him speak. And it stirred their hearts. And Martha in particular said, "That man is a man of God. And that man, I want him to come home. I want to take care of him. I want to love on him. I want to pour out care for him." And Martha particularly is mentioned here as being the one who went out of her way to bring him to her house, to their house. She received him. She welcomed him. No doubt she had stuff there to wash his feet when he took his sandals off, when he came through the front door. That was customary for the time period. And we see as we go along that Martha was very much a serving woman. And she clearly admired and wanted to be caring for and loving on Jesus Christ. Martha gets a lot of flack sometimes. But Martha here is the one who went out We don't even know if Mary or if Lazarus were there that day when she heard Jesus speak. It stirred her heart. But Martha was the one who said, "Hey, Jesus, come to my house. Have you eaten yet? Can I help you? Can I take care of you? Can I love on you?" She brought him to her house. Verse 39, it says she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So I don't know if Mary had been out there and met him and heard him when Martha had heard him or not. But when he gets to the house, here's Mary. And she's sitting at his feet, drinking it up. But Martha was cumbered. That means too busy, overly busy. The idea is she was dragging a burden. She was cumbered about much serving. And came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Martha was doing this. The things that she was doing because she wanted to serve Christ. I believe she genuinely had been impressed by him. She had been inspired by him. She had invited him home, and now she wanted to love on him. She wanted to serve him and take care of him. But she's taking it all on herself. She's too busy. She's burdened with it. To the point where she comes and complains to Jesus that Mary's sitting there at his feet instead of helping her get the supper on and get the beds made up for the guests that we're going to have staying the night and get the laundry, get that off the couch, get that out of the way. And she's busy, she's going, and she's doing all these things. And it's all because she wants to make it perfect for Jesus. It came from a good place. But she was burdened with it. She was burdened with it. It was good things, and it had come from a good place, but she was cumbered. She was weighed down with these things. She comes to Jesus. She said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's just sitting here and I'm doing everything? Why don't you tell her to come and help me?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha." And if you look at the significance of that, Martha, Martha, it's always a calming. It's always used in a calming, caring way, like a parent or someone calming a child. Calm, calm. It's okay. It's okay. Martha, Martha, thou art careful or anxious and troubled about many things. And this is the phrase that's been running through my head. But one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Is it great to have the opportunity to serve Christ a meal? To care for him? Absolutely. But one thing is needful. Not just great, not just a privilege, not just a joy, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. There was nothing wrong with Martha wanting to serve Christ. It was a good and a right desire. It came from a heart of adoration. But she forgot that it should be done from love. It wasn't needful. Christ didn't need her to feed him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the gold of every mine. He owns everything. He doesn't need me to serve him. He wants me to serve him. out of love. But he doesn't need anything. One thing is needful, and that is for me to learn to know him, to draw close, to spend time at his feet, to spend time in his presence. One thing is needful. As we go through our lives day to day, there's so many things that we have to do. We wake up in the morning and there's a list as long as my leg of things I got to get accomplished and places I got to go and people I got to meet and things I got to do and all these things. But one thing is needful. Those other things may be important. They may be things that we really ought to get done today, but one thing is actually truly needful. And that is to sit at the feet of Jesus. To spend time in his presence. If you miss that, you're going to be like Martha, cumbered about. How many dear brothers and sisters do you and I know? Cumbered about with life. Cumbered about with very good things. They're serving, they're doing, they're going, they're being. And it's all because they want to be what they should be for Christ. Their heart is very much desiring to be all that they ought to be for Christ. Do all the things. But they're cumbered, they're weighed down, they're dragging along this burden with them everywhere they go. And what's the temptation? The temptation is to be just like, feel just like Martha and be like, well, why isn't he doing anything as much as I am? Why isn't she doing as much as I am? Why can't somebody help me? Many times we take on ourselves more than we ought to take on ourselves, and then we get mad at others and upset at others and even complaining to the Lord and almost on the edge of casting blame on him for not calling them out to help me. Because I have so much to do and it's such important stuff. And Jesus says, one thing is needful. All of those other things are good, valuable, profitable, beneficial things in their place and with proper priorities. But only one thing is actually needful. Christ Jesus said when tempted of the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's the one thing you need. You don't just need bread. There's one thing you actually need more than bread. More than food, more than clothes, more than a house, more than all these things that we need. One thing's actually needful. One thing is needful, and that is to sit at the feet of our Lord. To spend time in His presence. To get to know Him. Martha wasn't doing bad things. But she was the one bearing the burden. She was the one doing it. She was the one trying to make sure that every possible need that Christ could have was taken care of when Christ was there. And He supplies all of our needs. He doesn't need anything from us. He wants our love, our affection, and our time. But Jesus wasn't going to die prematurely before he went to the cross because he didn't eat that night. Jesus wasn't going to falter spiritually from being the perfect, spotless Lamb of God because he didn't get a perfectly clean, perfectly made starched sheets to sleep on that night. Jesus didn't need those things. Martha thought he did. Martha needed those things. Martha needed to do those things to show her appreciation and her love and her care. But all of a sudden, at some point, it went from being simply an expression of her love to being, all these things have to get done. Jesus, can't you see that my sister's not helping? Why don't you tell her to get up and come and help? I mean, I've got so many things I've got to get done. Wait, Martha, wasn't the whole reason you were doing it to begin with to show your love for Christ? Why are you now fussing at Him that He's allowing your sister to sit? When the whole reason that you invited Him home was because you admired the man of God and the prophet that He was. When did it switch? That all of a sudden, the things are so much more important than the person who's in your house. When did it switch that the things that I'm doing for Christ and the things that I'm doing to take care of my family and to fulfill my responsibilities are so much more important than the person who I'm doing them for? The person who should be the motivator behind every part of my life. It's easy to happen. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He is the one caring for you. We get so much like Martha sometimes. We're trying to take care of Jesus. We're trying to take care of the church. We're trying to take care of the things of God. And God's like, hey, I'm the one taking care of you. Who's the father in this relationship? And who's the child? God's the one who's caring for us. And His desire is for us to cast our care on Him, knowing He cares for us. Doesn't mean we don't have things to do, but we don't have to bear the burden. We don't have to be cumbered and fretful. And, God, why isn't anybody helping me with all these things? In Mark chapter 4, as we read the parable that Jesus told of the seed that was cast out, some by the wayside, some in rocky ground. We read in verse 18 and 19, He says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. It's possible, my dear brothers and sisters, for the Word to take root in our hearts. For us to have seen this man, Jesus Christ, have loved Him, have admired Him, have wanted to draw close to Him. And then those cares of this life to spring up and choke that out. That's what was happening to Martha. The cares of this life, all these things that seemed oh so important were taking precedence and choking out the very reason that she had invited Christ there to begin with. She had invited Him there, no doubt, because she wanted to hear more of what He had to say, because she wanted to learn more from Him. But in the course of things, she got so focused on all the things she was doing, she forgot why she was doing them at all. She forgot who she was doing them for. They weren't for her. If Christ was really concerned about it, He would have told Mary to go and help. But Christ wasn't concerned about it. He didn't need anything. So many times, we find ourselves in this situation, doing the same thing. Consumed with cares. And if we're not careful, they'll choke out the word. They begin to choke it out. Not necessarily that we lose our faith in God entirely. Not necessarily that we would go and become an atheist or something drastic like that. But it begins to choke out the amount of time that we spend in the Word. The amount of time we spend at the feet of Christ. Choke out our mindset being framed and shaped by those things, because now it's being framed and shaped largely by, what do I have to get done today? Okay, I got to get this and this and this. Well, I'll get to that later. And we start putting some of the important things off for later. And even worse than that, we can begin to start putting aside the one thing that's needful. Jesus didn't say that there's one thing that's more needful than all these other things. He didn't say that there's one that kind of stands out a little bit above the rest. He said there's really only one thing that's absolutely needful. There's really only one thing that's a matter of life and death. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it's speaking here, Paul's speaking to Timothy, and he says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier." Do soldiers have daily responsibilities? Absolutely. Do soldiers have things they have to take care of? Absolutely. But a good soldier won't entangle himself in those things. He's going to do the things he needs to do, but he's not going to entangle himself in them in a way that would drag him down from being able to go and to do and to be what the Master wants him to be. He's going to make sure, first and foremost, that whenever that bugle calls, or whenever the Master summons him, he's available and he's ready. And whatever he's doing, it gets dropped and he goes to the Master. Because that's the priority. He's not entangling himself. He's not allowing himself to get so wrapped up in these things he has to do that when the Master calls and says, "Hey, I want to talk to you." "Well, hold on, I'll be there. I got to get this stuff wrapped up. I mean, I'll be there as soon as I can." Whose work is it anyway? In John chapter 15, we read, speaking of Christ as the vine and us as the branches. Verse 2, he says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." That means he prunes it. He starts to cut away the unnecessary things that it may bring forth more fruit. That can be painful, but it's good for us. It's good in our lives when God begins to prune those things and show us one thing is needful: staying connected to the vine. That's the only needful thing for that branch, is staying connected to the vine. If it stays connected to the vine, you can cut every twig off, you can cut every leaf off, it's still going to come back, because the strength and the life and the vitality comes from the vine, from the root. One thing is needful for that branch, and that is that it stays plugged in. When that branch is bearing some fruit, the Father's desire is to begin to prune some of those extra things out of the way so that it can bear more fruit. As God prunes those things in our life, it makes room for us to focus in on that one thing that's needful. As we do that, God's life flowing through us begins to produce fruit for His glory. I want to go yet to Matthew chapter 6. I want to read a pretty long section there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 34. Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters." He's speaking here of having one priority, one master, knowing that one thing is needful. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon would be literally anything that you can touch, feel, hold, taste, gain, lose. You can't serve God and things. You can't serve two masters. You have to choose one. Verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on." Don't be anxious. Take no thought means don't fret and worry and stress and drag around this weight. Cumbered, as it says that Martha was. Cumbered with all these things. He says, "Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" There's so much more than those physical things. And he gives some examples from nature. He says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Does that mean the birds don't actually get out of bed in the morning and go and eat the food that God provided? No. They're not laying there going, "Okay, well, if God's going to take care of me, then I don't have to do anything." No, they get up, they stretch, they flap their wings, they fly down, they find the food, they eat it, and they go on with life. But they're trusting the Father. They're not fretting and worrying and troubled and dragging around a weight. Can you imagine seeing a bird trying to fly through the air and he's dragging a sack of worries with him, weighing him down, and he's just barely staying up above the top of the grass, flapping for all he's worth. "Lord, can't you send me another bird to help carry this heavy bag for me? Don't you care that I'm almost hitting the dirt?" You're cumbered with things you don't need to be cumbered with. He says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought." It means don't be fretful and dragging this around with you, saying, "What are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." But guess what? He knows there's one thing that's needful, that's truly needful. Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." These things, providing food, providing clothing, providing houses, they're not bad things to do. They're important, good things to do. But they have to stay in their proper priority. You can't serve them as a master They shouldn't make us fret or falter in our trust in God. How many times have you seen someone, met someone who's fallen out in their faith with God, and you ask them and start probing and find out why? And it's based on some physical thing they expected God to do or not to do, and it didn't quite work out how they expected. And they lost their faith in God because they were expecting God to do things that God never promised to do. They were serving that master and they thought that God was going to help them serve that master. And when they didn't, they lost faith in their true master. And we should always keep these things in their proper perspective, that though they be good, though they be necessary and beneficial, one thing is needful. One thing is actually needful. That is the only thing that's worth devoting your life to. You can devote your life to doing all the other things. You're going to find yourself cumbered. You're going to find yourself carrying a big, heavy load. Those things are fine and good, but one thing's actually needed. And that is to sit at the feet of your Savior. To stay plugged into that vine. Let the Master prune off what He wants. But let me make sure that I'm plugged into the vine, because that is needful. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this morning, Lord. I thank You for Your Word. Father, I thank You for the rest that we can have in You. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Lord, help us, I pray, to cast our cares on You, knowing that You care for us. Lord, help us to remember as we go through our days, every morning when we wake up, every day as we progress through it, to remember that one thing is needful, that we would choose that good part that cannot be taken away from us, that we would draw close to our Savior and stay plugged in and stay connected. In Jesus' name. Amen.